I applaud him for every song that he led. The music was written as he led it, as I have oftentimes led the wrong song in the tune that I know everybody else is going to.
It all works.
It works out in the end, doesn't it? It definitely does. Well, the topic that I've chosen this morning, I've titled The Night Was Betrayed. And I thought a lot about it, and I think everybody knows what I do for a living, so I won't point it out. But I do get to see a lot of different things. I do get to see a lot of different traditions and rituals and things of this nature, and sometimes I sit back and I wonder, are we just as ritualistic in everything that we do? And do we understand why we do certain things? Because traditionally, there are several acts, what we call acts of worship in the assembly time. We talk about, well, there's singing, there's prayers, there's the giving, and then there's some guy that stands up there and drones on and on and on for about an hour. Oh, by the way, I don't have a wristwatch, so I don't fall into that little joke where the preacher puts the watch on the podium. But when I change the sermon 5 minutes, everybody goes, okay, where's the pizza? I will try to keep it brief. But the fact of the matter is, we do a lot of things, but do we really understand why? You know, I've heard a lot of times people say, well, you know, I don't really get into organized religion because all they want is your money. Fact of the matter is, we don't want your money, we want your time. We don't want your money, we want you to understand. We want you to commit, and not to us, to God. We want to help you do that. We want to help you get there. We need the money because, guess what? As spiritual as we are, as much as we look out for each other's spiritual well-being, spiritual health, so that everybody reaches the same goal, we have to pay the bills. Because Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Well, Caesar's not around anymore, but we do have a president. That's why we have a collection, not because we want your money. It's going to keep the lights off. But I digress. There are a lot of things we do. Well, one of those things that I see a lot, because even in a funeral mass, there is communion. Even that seems to be the focus around everything that churches do. That's the focus. Is that right or is that wrong? Well, let's talk about that. But in order to fully understand why and what happened and what's going on with that thing, and then we're going to finish with that thing, let's step back in the time and say, well, why? What is it that happened? Well, God has always had a plan. There was a song that the choral group at the college that we went to sang, and one of the phrases in there is, God has always had a plan. Well, God has always had a plan, too. He had a plan for those people. He had a plan for what is it those people were supposed to do. How were they supposed to remember him, and how were they supposed to understand what it was he was doing for them? He chose a people. Why? He had that someplace for his son to be introduced into the world. It wasn't because they were any older than anybody else. God chose a people to introduce his son so that the world could be saved. And he said, well, this is what you're going to do, because you're my chosen people. You have things that you have to do. We get it by grace. They had a lot of work they had to do. It was hard. If you look at Leviticus chapter 23, God set up a lot of things for them to remember and by. A lot of memorials, a lot of feasts, a lot of things like that. Well, Leviticus chapter 23 really is that list of things in the basic format that they had to work, that they had to do. Number one is the Sabbath. He said, speak to the people of Israel, and he said, these are the appointed festivals of the Lord that you shall proclaim as holy convocations and my appointed festivals. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh is the Sabbath. Complete rest, holy convocation. You shall do no work. It's the Sabbath of the Lord. That's number one. He established the Sabbath. He said, you're not going to do anything. The only thing you're going to do that day is you're going to remember day before, because they're not allowed to do that. They're only, allowed to walk certain distances. They used to cheat. Because you couldn't do work. So what they would do the day before, they'd go out and they'd set jugs of water at certain distances so they could walk, because you can't do work. Walking's not work. Walking's motivation. But they couldn't do work. They couldn't carry water, so they'd set out pots of water at certain distances so you'd go for water to water to water to water and get where you needed to go. And we're doing work. Okay. So they met that requirement. The next one, he says, there are appointed festivals of the Lord and holy convocations celebrating appointed. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, there shall be a Passover offering to the Lord. And on the 15th day of the same month, in this festival of unleavened bread to the Lord, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And on the first day you shall have a holy convocation, a meeting, a communion, and you shall not work at your occupations. And for 7 days you shall present the Lord offerings by fire. And on the seventh day another holy convocation, which you shall not work at your occupations. So there's another one he said, this is what you're going to do. Passover. It was a remembrance of what? It was a remembrance of when God came with those seven plagues when they were all stuck in Israel. He said, these are the things you're going to be doing so that you remember what I do for you. Remember how great I am, what power I really have. These are remembrances. I remember they had this, they were told these specific things with the lamb and the bitter herbs and the blood on the doorpost and all that. This is the remembrance of that. He said, look what I did for you. I saved you. I didn't take your life. I got you out of bondage. I moved you along 40 days in the desert. While they would have gotten a lot shorter sentence in the desert had they not whined about it, they would have gotten that land if they had believed that they could go in as they were told they could. Instead they go, now, that's too bad. You messed it up. Now back to the desert you go. But he said, I want you to do this. You have to do this because you have to remember that this is what this is all about. God has always had a plan. He's always had a remembrance. He said the festival of first fruits, same thing. This is an offering that tells that the people remember, oh wait, I didn't do everything. God makes sure I have a good harvest. God feeds me. God makes sure I know that I have what I need. When I was about 8 years old, I prayed like you wouldn't believe every day because I wanted the mini bike. Remember mini bikes? I wanted that thing. And I wanted that thing. Dad, I was sure that God was going to give me a mini bike. I never had a mini bike. He said, the things that you need, not necessarily the things that you want, he will make sure that you have that. The festival of the first fruits was all about that. When you came in and you presented in sacrifice the first of the harvest, not the end after you're all done with it, not the leftovers after all your cupboards are full, the first of it, the best. Okay? And then after that, and this is all of that for this whole period of time, then after that, the festival of weeks kind of carries on with that. 52 days after the first fruits, there's another sacrifice for the harvest. And they're given direction what they're allowed to harvest. You can't get the edges, you can't get the curves, because that you need for the poor. Again, not only taking care of the farmer, we take care of everybody else too. From that farmer's field. Look what I've done for you. Remember that. The festival of trumpets. He says on the seventh month really it just gets hit hard. All throughout the seventh month, he says, speak on the seventh month, the first day of the month, you observe a day of complete rest. The holy convocation and remembrance. And commemorate this with trumpet blasts. And you shall not work at your occupation. That's the first day of the seventh month. And then on the atonement, it's the tenth day of the seventh month. And then the festival of booths. On the 15th day of the seventh month. All of these things, he says, these are remembrances. These are all the things that I've done for you. And for a good harvest and supply and for taking care of you. I want you to do all of these things. Why? Because he knows that they're in a foreign land. He knows he's set them out there, because did not the Israelites mess it up so many times it's ridiculous? And they forget, and they go off on their merry way, and they go worshiping idols and all these other kinds of things, because those are the people they're with. And God said, I'm going to set this up for you so you remember who brought you out. So you remember, because you are my people, you are where I'm going to spring the salvation from. You need to be my people. I'm going to try to remind you of that on a regular basis. Well, the Passover is the biggie for them. And if you remember, what one of the things that Jesus, now, try to follow me a little bit. Jesus was not a Christian. Never had been. Right? Shouldn't be. Jesus was not a Christian. He was a Jew. Remember, we talked about, I've expounded on that for the last 10 minutes. He's a Jew. Came through the Jewish people. Well, he followed the law strictly. Followed the tradition strictly. Went through all. And what was the last thing he wanted to do before he was sacrificed? He said specifically, I urgently desire to eat the Passover with my disciples before I am glorified. Before I'm to be sacrificed. It was a biggie. That's the biggie. All these other things here, I mean, the whole chapter devoted to, these are the things that you're going to do. But that was the one thing that was the biggie for him. I need to do that. Because that's the sacrifice. That's the remembrance that brings you closer. He says, okay, so it says in Matthew 26, starting at 17, he's on the first day of unleavened bread. The disciples came to Jesus and said, where do you want us to prepare, make preparation for you to eat the Passover? And they knew. So go to the city of a certain man and say, the teacher says, my time is near, and I'll eat the Passover at your house with my disciples. And so the disciples did as Jesus directed them and prepared the Passover meal. Now, I always thought that was kind of interesting. Each one of the Gospels has nice and has kind of a little bit more information. It's the same guy, not different story. Has a little bit more description, a little bit different description of the guy that they're supposed to go see and say, we're going to celebrate the Passover in your house. Okay, and I thought, well, in my younger days, if I used to think, well, you know what? That's real presumptive. What to tell some stranger, the teacher says that it's time and we're gonna go have dinner at your place. What's rather presumptuous? No, I got stuff to do, man. But you know what? That's what they did. And they were honored. And it doesn't have to be the fact that it just happened to be the Son of God that wants to do this. If they were honored by another member of the community or some stranger or some traveler who say, hey, you know what, I'm going to have dinner at your house, they go, okay. They were honored by that. So I said, oh, that, okay, I understand. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. But he says, we're going to have the Passover at your house, and they did it. And he says, when it was evening, he took his place with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. And they became greatly distressed and began to say to one another, sure, it's not I, Lord. One who dips his hand in the bowl with me will betray me. Matthew really talks a lot about this. And the others, they kind of go pretty quickly. He really talks a lot about this. He says, this is who this person is. So there's not going to be any guesswork here. The Son of Man goes and is written for him, but woe to him when the Son of Man is bitten, the Son of Man is betrayed. Better for him if he had not been born. And Judas, who betrayed him, interestingly enough, surely not I, Rabbi, the strongest of all. Everybody else is kind of like, okay, it's not me, is it? No, that's not me. He says, oh no, surely it's not I, Rabbi. set up a memorial. He says, while they were eating, he took the loaf, and after blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and eat, for this is my body. We just did that. We just did that right here. Think about that. We hear a lot and we say, discerning the body, discerning the blood. What does that truly mean? Well, if you look at definitions, they're really kind of vague and hazy and nobody really knows. It's one of those words that means, remember what it is you're doing. Yeah, it's a piece of bread. It's unleavened bread. Miraculous. But what does it really mean? Jesus said, take this, and I'm going to take this bread that I'm passing around to you, take a portion of it. This is my body. What am I doing? In that simple act, remembering his sacrifice and joining in it spiritually, not physically, thank you. Joining in it, it becomes a part of me. And God said, you're going to do this every week. Why? I don't want you to forget. I don't want you to forget. Because what happened? His body, what happened? Now, we're reading here, and he says, they've gone and they've made preparations for the meal, and then when it was evening, he joined them, and they all have the meal, and then they go out, as we keep on reading on, I won't read the whole chapter, but as we keep reading on, they go out, they pray, they sing a hymn, he's directly betrayed. Judas comes, oh, this is so wonderful. One guy they're coming to get, they bring this big mob, not even soldiers, not police, not law enforcement, not this mob, and it says with clubs and torches, to arrest this one guy, okay, and they take him. What a struggle. They take him. Physically, he goes. He's arrested. He goes before the chief priest, Caiaphas, who sends him off to Pilate. Why? Caiaphas doesn't have the power to do what they want to do. It was illegal for the Jews in a Roman governed area to execute. Only the Romans could do that. So they got to send him to the Roman governor with a charge that will stick. With a charge that the Romans feel is worthy of some sort of punishment. So they want to get rid of this guy because he's threatening their livelihood and their lifestyle. So they send him. does is he passes the cup. He says, everybody drink from it. This is my blood.
Over the Sabbath, Friday.
not be of himself. He was himself. Therefore, he was not a Christian. Jesus was a Jew. He was a Jew because that was the chosen people. Yes, I'm rehashing a few things. Jesus was a Jew. Why? Because the Jews were the chosen people, and that's the people that God chose to bring Christ into the world. We are Christians because we are of Christ. What are we doing? We are remembering his sacrifice. We are remembering the fact that he rose. We're remembering the fact that only through him can you receive that eternal life. We're remembering through him the only access to God the Father. And we're remembering that through him, salvation comes to the world. And God said on the first day of the week, you will remember this, because Jesus said it himself. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me. If you're hungry, go home. Have dinner. If you don't have it, tell somebody so we can help you. This is not dinner. This is remember. That was the big thing Paul had a problem with the Corinthians. This is not dinner. This is remember. And remember what? The sacrifice. Remember what? The body broken, the blood shed, to look back and to look forward. There's nothing else. That's the one thing that he said to us. We don't have 20 festivals to deal with. We don't have 20. God gave us one thing that I sacrificed every day. I gave it to you. Now, once on the first day of every week, come together. So we remember by this, he was betrayed, he was tried, he was punished, he was condemned to death, beaten, crucified, gives up his spirit, is laid in the tomb, and he raises up on the first day of the week. That's our remembrance. That's how it is. What is our response to all of this? Is to remember. Join him on the first day of every week. To join in with the communion together, to gather, to join in, what it means. To remember each thing. Ask for this thing. What does it mean? What's the next thing he's given to us? It's not what you get. It's that. What's the next thing he's given? Well, what do we have to do? Well, in response to this, is we say, well, as Christians, we remember, yeah. Because we come in contact with Christ. So what do we have to do? It's simple. You have to believe what it is that you're told. Or what you mean. I really have a hard time with what I'm being told, because I was told a lot of things on my life and I found out they were wrong. Believe what you read. Learn it. Secondly, you have to confess. What do you have to confess? No, you don't have to come up here and go to confession, sit in a little booth every week and go, yes, I did this, I did this, I did this. No, he says you will confess the fact that you believe and accept that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is the ultimate sacrifice, that Jesus Christ is the only pathway that brings you to him. That's your confession. To be baptized. We have one. Kind of close the curtain, but it's there. I've heard it say it. We have the water. What does he say? You will be baptized. This is not an option. It's not an option. This is what you do. This is how you come in contact with the burial. This is how you remember everything. This is how you come in contact with his burial and resurrection. The symbol of joining in. So washing away. Bringing away the old man, putting in the new, but making the commitment. I used to say joining the club, but that's just not right. Making the commitment and then walking in the newness of life. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. But it's the commitment. Remember, because once you're in it, you're in it to win it. And that's how we remember it. have not been baptized, now is the time to do that. Now is the time to do that. If you have any concerns that you wish to share with the church, if one of you want prayers or just even